This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
We may at some point have to go over things, over these, Tyler, because a lot of people are really chiming in on both YouTube and Twitch and on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line about things that they think you should push.
Let me know.
Tomorrow as you join the fan count.
Yes, sir. Y'all let me know. I will be your representative in there.
For the people.
Are you opposed? Are you like scared to ask questions because the fan count, the other 40 people or 60 people in there may get a little
impatient
with you?
Mm-mm.
He said it doesn't sound like.
You're going to get your questions out there.
Yeah,
Doug, wait a minute. I can't see the numbers, man, with them on them dark uniforms with that red. I can't see the numbers.
Yo, Doug and Fresh.
Right. What? Yeah. What are we going to do about that? Can we get some neon piping added to those jerseys, or take 4 years to do that too through the NFL? I can't. John McClain, damn sure can't see him. I mean, I know if I'm struggling, John has no chance. Berman, no chance. Right. My boy Matt Musil, no chance.
I didn't know that's where you. I didn't know you were so passionate about that. I didn't know that's where you're headed.
I'm not overly passionate about it, but I do think it's something that needs to. I thought it was a good pull out of the bag real quick. Like,
yeah,
what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, right there.
I'll take all the ideas, man. I'll take them all.
Can we get some piping on there, or is it going to take another four years?
We'll get some neon piping so these old heads can see the damn numbers, or what, man? Or do you want McClain to continue to roast you on game day every time you wear those unis?
Does he?
Oh, yeah. you know, John don't hold back on the old tweeter machine, boy. That's great.
Oh, God.
Cockamamie idea.
There you go. That guy right there.
A little cockamamie idea, huh? Hey, look at you, John. Hope you're having a good day today, John. I hope you sure are. All right. Something that John's also interested in, I'm sure he's got a take on this, and that's the Astros getting going as the regular season will be here before you know it, as they'll take on the Mets. And Clint, we're starting to hear some folks not make the team, or some folks been told, like we've seen that John Singleton is not going to make the team, at least right out. Some guys in the bullpen, they've gone in another direction. They've talked about, but there's still no decision on the final three spots. This is coming from Chandler Rome of The Athletic. As he reports, still no decision on the Astros' final three position player spots. Joe Espada said they will take it down to the wire, not finalizing anything until Wednesday. Cooper Hummel, Zach Short, Zach DiZenzo, Brandon Rodgers, and Cam Smith are all still in contention to make the team. Right out of the gates. And I would pose this to everybody. You can jump in on this on the text line, YouTube and Twitch as well. But for you, do you need Cam Smith to be on this roster opening day?
Need's a strong word, but I'll play the game. Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I'll be completely honest with you. I want it to happen because I feel like I've been spoken down to by multiple baseball.
Just these baseball
know-it-alls, man. I just feel like I've been just borderline disrespected. Ain't no way, man. You got to understand. Bud Norris pulled this T. You got to understand, man.
Stretch golf.
Damn,
spring training. Spring training means absolute numbers mean absolutely nothing. You know, you got to understand, man. Like,
why do we do it?
It's the business side of it with Cam Smith. Where boy, if he's not on the roster opening day, it's the ups and downs. I get it, man. I didn't tell Bud. I just kind of grinned and bared it. But I mean, I'd like to see it happen because it seems like there's that side of the baseball know it all that just. There's a level of arrogance and there's a level of disrespect that is just shouting from the rooftops that it'll never happen. It's bad for business. It's not the right thing to do. That's not how Major League Baseball works. I'd like to see him out there for that reason first and foremost. Number two, I do think that if he's going to – whenever he comes up, if there's going to be a major struggle, he's going to struggle whether he's up from jump or he comes up midway through the season. Let's go ahead and get them struggles. Let's get him weathering that storm. Let's get that adversity behind him. Let's get those plate appearances. Let's get that developmental process started so that later in the season he hopefully can help us move the needle a bit.
Do you need to see him? Clint says yes. And listen, this is my thing. If the plan is for him to be a starter, that's the only way I want him up. To start right off.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's got to be the plan. It's not like, all right, I'm not even platoon. Like, I don't even want a platoon with him and Chaz. Like, or whoever. I don't want that or platoon at third or whatever. If the plan is for him to get every day at bats and he's in the lineup and you are saying, all right, we are giving you right field, or we are giving you, that's what it seems like right now. We are going, if that's not the case, then I don't think he needs to be up here. Because I do agree, and they've said this about Zach DiZenzo too. Like, those are guys that don't need to go sit on the bench and don't need to come up and
action. Yeah.
Yeah, and only play 2 days a week or come up and pitch hit. Right. I don't think that is the case. He needs to be playing every day, and whether you think that should be at Sugar Land or whether you think that should be up with the big team. But to me, it's just make the decision. You are our right fielder, and let him feel that and know that, and not thinking like you are our right fielder in platoon or you're our right fielder until you struggle. No, let him hold the job or let him be whatever you want him to be in Sugar Land.
Yeah, look, I don't care if it's third base or right field. I mean, obviously, with Altuve going to the outfield, you got to hold it second, so you got some flexibility there, which Cam Smith plays into it. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, there's no reason on that business side that gets thrown around loosely. Yeah. Like, there's no reason to waste and fast track the kid if you're not going to play him and get him to development. No question about that, but. If he legitimately has turned them to a point of like, hey man, this kid, there's a really good chance he's going to be like inside that building. I know I want it. I'd like to see it. But if they really feel that way, then I'm gung ho. I'm all about it. But you're right. I mean, obviously,
it's starter or go
agreed.
Down.
Agreed. Oh, and I got
just be a starter somewhere.
Yeah, and surely that's what I mean. That's
got to be right.
Yeah,
like
yeah. But what he brings, it's just. People say, well, I heard Luke Morrow and John Lopez talking a little earlier about if you total up the level of competition that he's faced all spring training, it's just, I can't remember if you said where it's right in the double A area, right? And so the competition, let's not make too much of the numbers. Well, while I'll agree with that, those advanced stats, I agree. I love that bit, right? But at the same time, there's a bunch of other dudes that are facing that same caliber that ain't swinging the bat as well as he is.
Yeah.
And so he's swinging it better than the other guys definitely, are, no doubt about
he's
it.
He's definitely done something to force this into a conversation.
Yeah. So they just missed me with the spring training don't mean nothing, the business side of this thing. Like, if he has convinced them, and I know Dana Brown, he's on record multiple times, right, saying he doesn't mind fast-tracking players. He likes to fast-track players. Yeah. So, I mean, if he's done enough to impress them to that point, man, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Julia Morales he's at the icebox for the first time.
I play a little Sugar Land, ain't they?
Old Dykin, eh?
Yeah. That Dykin, for the first time ever. Cam Smith, out there to be your new right fielder. I think he is going to be the starting right fielder. It feels like
I do too.
Damn, Chaz.
That damn Chaz can't catch a break, boy. This will be
come at me about white boy.
Think
Chaz.
About this. This will be a little easier to stomach than Jake.
I screwed
nah,
up.
Nah, yeah, you know, a Cam Smith fella who, as you said, has been facing the equivalent of double-A pitching has just come up here and took your damn job when they came out in the offseason and said, all right, man, we got two spots basically penciled in before the season starts, and Chaz and Jake.
Yeah, well, maybe they've noticed they realize they're going to need Chaz over in left field a little bit, too.
I don't mean... Because he's going to be the fourth outfielder or whatever. What a fall.
Chaz?
Good God, man. Like, this was, 22 homers. Not even just that. The year before, a World Series hero starting all the games in center field was not good enough for him to come back the next season to claim his spot. But then he just forced.
Well into the season. I mean, wasn't he top three center fielders OPS? I mean, he was swinging the bat like with, and I know that wasn't ever gonna that ever was that was not who Chaz was, but no. That's where he was at that moment.
Bump that at the end of that year, when MLB does their top 10 positions, he was in the top 10 of center fielders.
Yep. Jake
and I want to say, I'm not saying that Chaz. I thought Chaz last year was a bit screwed over.
Or the
year's lead. I thought the year after they won the World Series and what he did against the Phillies, he deserved to get to be the center fielder. Mm-hmm. And Jake took it, and then he had to just snatch it from his ass. And then I thought again he earned the right when he hit 22 home runs and 70 RBIs and had that great OPS and was. The guy struggled in the postseason, but I thought he deserved the spot, and he was going to be given the spot. He had some of the injuries and stuff like that, but I want to say it's not that he's getting screwed. No, his play has absolutely opened the door for this to happen. Now, I think maybe he's thinking to himself a little bit like, I don't know what Jake's doing on at the plate to just keep his job so solidified, but
I screwed up.
Jake's got a bronze gold. Got that bronze glove right there that you don't have.
He's got to be wishing he got dealt in that damn Tucker trade or something. wishing he's up there in the Windy City.
Need a change of scenery. Is that what Kenyon Green said?
Yes,
indeed. Need a change of scenery. Damn, boy, that is a fall. Oh, by the way, sad day. Local ties to this as well. We lost George Foreman.
Yeah, man. Legend.
I want y'all to be honest.
I saw George Foreman not too long ago at Steakhouse here in town.
Used to live next door to George Foreman Jr.
Sitting over there just chilling.
One of the Georges?
Yeah.
He's got a couple of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, in Georgetta.
It was our one of Foreman's sons, I guess one of his older ones, was our next door neighbor in our apartment complex when me and Megan first got married.
All right, seriously. First thing you think of when you think of George Foreman?
Grills.
Absolutely.
He is one of the greatest.
Mess around and lose your little grease catcher. Bowl and have to use a napkin or something.
How many times did Teresa kick my ass over that thing? just sitting there still in the dishwasher. Forgot all about that thing.
I mean,
he is one of the greatest boxers in the world.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, not currently in the world, but ever. Right. And all three of us, it's them damn grills.
Right. He was a great grill maker,
too. And this is ranging from mid-30s to 40 to...
Seven.
Late 40s. this is ranging the... I mean, he's more synonymous with grills than Paul Wall is.
I bought two of the little ones and one of the big ones. I'm in for three, George, just in case you wondered.
The
man.
Real big one?
Big dog. You can get you a good ape chicken breast on that, George.
I'll never forget my homeboy Ian took it. We took it to school.
The George Foreman?
Yeah, took that thing to school, man. Had the big one. I'll never forget. His nickname is Ball Fade. I don't even know his real name, but he was an offensive lineman on the football team at Missouri Western. But he took it and tried to do some pork chops on him. Broke that damn thing.
Too thick?
Yeah, too thick. Yeah, broke them.
We've all been there.
You had to go. Well, you still talking about chicken breast?
Oh, yeah. No. Never mind.
So Foreman, boy, that was it. You ain't lying, but that grease run on that cat man.
Hey, mess around and lose that little grease bowl that goes on the bottom of it, boy. It'll mess up your world now.
And that commercial, boy. You know it was those almost could have been the Hulk Hogan grills.
Yep. Is that on the documentary, the George Foreman documentary?
Might have been. I know
they never heard that.
They had the same agent. Someone just
Hogan turned it down, didn't he?
Well, no. So they had the same agent, and Hogan said that. Quick story. He said that he was picking his kids up from school, and they always complained about him being always last because he would get up there late. And so this day he said, I went up there, went to McDonald's, got everybody's food, and I got there early. I was the first car. Just tell you how long ago it was. First car. He said, I got in there, got all the kids, and he said he got home and he listened on his answering machine because him and George have the same agent. And they had two products. They had a blender and a grill. And he said he called Hogan first, but Hogan didn't answer because he was in the pickup.
Damn.
Then Hogan said, hey, Hogan, I got a grill or I got a blender. And then Hogan called him back and was like, I want the grill. He said, oh, George already went with the grill.
Damn. I never heard that. That's a wild-ass story. About a shift in
Terry.
Bank
and then I believe this is Terry Bollea talking at this point, not Hulk Hogan. Terry Bollea said that $400 or $500 million later, he's got the grill and I got this damn blender that I put water and protein powder in. And
probably lost money on it.
Oh. Doesn't work.
That is great.
Man. Rest in peace. Oh, George Foreman. Damn. I thought maybe Clint might say boxer.
No, man. The grills, man.
Rotisserie chicken, baby.
I was right on the front end of those, man. When them things hit, boy.
It felt like it was so easy, man. And he was such a spokesman. I mean, he had me, boy. Run up there and get him. He's
kept like, that breath succulent.
I believe them bad boys. All right. One thing that hopefully the Texans improve, they've done a lot of things in the offseason. This point, I don't think they've done. They still have time. This is something we hope, and I think the Texans need to improve. That's coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, one thing, by the way, we got some people like Gus and Katie about to lose their mind. Thriller in Manila.
I wasn't born yet, Gus, but I hear you.
So no, look, I'm with you. Look, I
get you. I think about, God, man, and him, it's him on the losing end of that. With Muhammad Ali.
So, I mean, unless you were old enough to be watching that when it happened, I don't know how, if you're being honest with yourself, when you're sitting there, somebody says George Foreman, the grills, no doubt about it.
Easy, a white one I had.
And even if I'm talking about his face, like an image of him, it's him standing next to that grill smiling his ass off.
With a shirt tucked in and an apron.
Smiling his ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I'm assuming.
70, by the way, 76-5 boxing career record, and he's known for some grills.
I could see where, like, people that were watching that are like, man, who are these idiots? But I'm just telling you, that's just, I mean.
I do remember him knocking out Michael Moore. I remember watching getting that fight on pay-per-view and them knocking out and winning it like 20, I think it was like 20 years in between. Championship.
From like the boxing that I like remember seeing myself live was the Holmes Foreman, just big bodies, man. Just laying on each other.
I'm more Michael Moore when that lefty was a champ and he came and knocked him out. He was gonna lose that fight. Only thing he had was to knock him out, and he got him. Yeah, George Foreman made Houston proud from the text line. He did. And them grills, man, they were huge. All right, Clint, the Texans have done a lot in the offseason, especially offensively. They've done a lot in the offseason. The one thing to me that needs to be a priority at some point, and this isn't even on the offensive line, Clint, is I would hope, and if I'm a Texans fan, I would definitely hope this, Clint, that by the time we get to training camp and we start to get to a point where we're getting close to the season, that we see some influx of speed on this offense.
Come on.
Right now, if you look at it, there aren't a lot of just guys that take the ball and are just, they can go at any point. Right. It seems like there's not a lot of big play elements on this team. And, you know, Nico is probably at the top, but still, like, you look at Nico when he beats people, it takes a little bit of time for him to hit his stride and to get open. Now, he can take short catches big and make them big plays because he's tough to tackle. But, you know, just that outright speed, right? And I like Christian Kirk from the inside, but he's not anyone that's confused with, like, a guy that just runs past people. And especially with the injury to Tank, it really is lacking it. Like, hell, Brevin Jordan at the tight end spot might be, you know, just from who was going to be covering him, the best speed situation that you have if he plays. Because their skills are Mixon, Pierce, Nico, Christian Kirk, Mechie, Hutch, Schultz, Stover, Brevin Jordan. That group, to me, lacks just that element of speed right away.
No question whatsoever. Great, absolute great point. I mean, if we're talking overall offensive football, we spent a lot of time talking interior offensive line. We spent a lot of time talking overall offensive line given the tackle movement, right? But the reality of it is the other problem is the wide receiver position. But it's really not a wide receiver position, right? It's a offensive skill position problem. Right? Because I love Joe Mixon. Obviously, I was higher on Joe Mixon last year when he got signed and he went for 1,000 yards. Right? I kind of like Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon misses that hit your head on a goalpost type of speed.
Yeah, you're not probably going to see a lot of Joe Mixon handoffs for 50.
No, probably not. Probably not. Dalton Schultz is bringing zero to the table from that perspective. I mean, on top of the overall speed, Dalton lacks twitch, if we're being completely honest. Of just a good NFL tight end. And so I think you made great points about Nico. Nico's a great player. The speed is there. But the win right now, ability, whether it's twitch or just 0 to 100, the speed, that burst type deal, Nico doesn't necessarily win with that. That's not his go-to. You're right, man. This group has a good defense. Will smother the hell out of them if they don't find it. That's why I think in the draft, or if they find that guy in free agency, or if they trade, like, they've got to find to take the top off of it speed guy. They've got to, at the very least, if not a, you'd hope, depending on how early of a draft pick they use to do that, you hope they find a guy that can run polished routes, that is a more polished receiver, more accomplished receiver. You hope some of those things happen to come along with it. But at the very least, when the Texans are on the clock, if there's a receiver out there that poses a threat, a lot like Xavier Worthy did last year, right? He was late first, wasn't he?
Yep.
Obviously, with the Chiefs getting him. Like that kind of player.
That element,
to this offense is needed big time, man. That's a great point. There's no question about it.
Because right now, if you're a defense, just currently right now, if you're a defense and you're like, all right, down the field, who's going to get me down the field? It's Nico, right?
I'm dedicating two to Nico.
Also with Nico and his frame, like, Nico, it's a long play action, you got to get to it. And he gets open. It isn't a right now where you just see it. Yep. Like, you can see Tank, the difference in how quickly Tank cannot just get open in short places, but just like down the field. There was a fear a bit that he put in you, especially on the other side of Nico. They just seem to lack that now. And
they've got to find it.
Yeah, they have to. Like, and again, Clint, we've talked about this in the past. This player doesn't have to be a great player. Like, it doesn't have to be Tyreek Hill, right? It doesn't have to be. It just has to be. Like Xavier Worthy, I don't think is a great player yet. But you see him on the field, and you're like, okay, he can run past you, or reverses, or jet sweeps, or things like that, to where he gets his hands on the ball, and we make one mistake, one missed tackle, that it could be a big, like, this guy gets going and it could be a real problem.
They need it badly.
Yeah, they just don't have that element, and hopefully that comes in the draft and they're looking at that, but they have got to pick that up somewhere in this thing moving forward. All right, as we continue right here live on The Drive, the biggest story, and listen, this is going to be something that the Texans should be paying attention to, but the biggest story happening in the league right now, still no resolution. We all think we know what's going to happen, but it still hasn't happened, and that's through the weekend. We'll discuss that coming up now.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, bro, people are these. I would think, and maybe I'm off. Maybe I would think it's some of the older folks are really, really upset about the George Foreman thing.
Uh-oh.
Can't believe you remember him for his chicken.
He was a tremendous boxer. I didn't say that.
Y'all are idiots. He wasn't the chicken man. He was the boxing man.
It was burgers, wasn't it? We're on the grill.
I think it was.
They had a rotisserie.
The old grease cutter.
My man, former.
Who would have thought? Squeezing the grease out of the piece of meat and letting it drain towards the front. And then
I'm telling you.
Letting it go.
Let it rip, man.
Yeah. Former gold medal winner, 1968 Olympics. You guys must have something against talking about Houston Cougars, even our Odyssey app.
You clearly hate us, Cougs.
Texas Tech.
You hate us because you think of chicken and food when you think of George Foreman.
We have discussed all of that. And again, 1968 Olympics, guys. I mean, for you, that may have hit.
2 years after my dad was born. My dad was crapping his diaper, folks.
Yeah, that may have hit, baby. That may have hit. That didn't have me. That didn't have me right there, baby.
We're all aware he's a boxing great. We just, when we first think of him, we think of his awesome grills.
I think of him.
And Huffman, Texas.
I think of him and Emeril Gossy, right there in the same boat, right there. I used to watch those infomercials between the two of them, Emeril and George Foreman. There it is.
I used to drive by his estate up there in Huffman on the way to work every day.
My man said 1968. The hell's wrong with y'all?
We're in the history book, okay?
1968.
That was back when boxing in the Olympics was actually, I mean,
something.
Well, I mean, yeah, people gave a rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it takes 50-year-old Mike Tyson.
Like, listen, I don't think of the Hangover when I think of Mike Tyson. I still think of him knocking folks out.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I think about him biting ears
off. That's a great point. But I mean, I literally, that was my prime. I would not miss that now. I mean, I'm dead in the middle of that. I watched it all live. Yeah. I didn't watch Foreman do his thing.
But
again,
also,
until his
but
big
also,
ass was laying on Larry Holmes and two big old big bodies laid up on each other.
But also, Mike hadn't had a second venture that just, I mean, exploded like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah,
Mike
nobody thinks of Ronald Reagan the actor anymore. Yeah, he became the president.
Donald Trump, the reality star.
Yeah, no, but yeah, I don't think of Donald Trump, the apprentice. Yeah, it might have been a time. Might have been a time.
When he was boxing, it wasn't even in color, it was black and white.
Yeah. Someone did text in, you all talked about Texas needing speed. You got an idea of somebody who might be available. I think the golden kid from Texas has good speed. Luther Burton, kind
they can
of
get there, man. They got. Yeah. Some, I mean, if they can do some moving and shaking, there's some guys at the top of this draft that can roll.
There's some receivers in the draft. Yeah, they can.
There's some receivers in the draft that give you some options. There's a to me again. I'll go back to the running back conversation.
That,
I
mean, too.
I think there's two or three running backs in this draft where you could draft them early. They could sit. They could be your third down back. You could mix them in with Joe Mixon. That way you get a more elusive, a twitchier, more explosive, bigger speed guy out of that back. You can just give him a third down package early in the season. You can up his play as he starts to learn, be able to listen, retain, and apply a playbook. And then when it's time for Joe to move on, boom, you got your guy. You slide him right in there. There are speed players. In fact, Ron, we hadn't talked enough about this. This is a great get by you. Great pickup by you. Like, this is a big enough problem on this offense where you can argue that it rivals the interior offensive line problems. And that's a mouthful for me. But I think there are ways, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many issues. There's so many things that contribute to poor pass protection. Like, they can fix just a handful of them and have lesser players and actually be better protecting. But boy, when you don't have speed, man, you are handcuffed, son.
Yeah.
There's receivers and running backs.
The Texans and their skilled guys, they've got several guys who, once they get going, they got some really good speed, and they can pull away from people once they get going.
Yeah.
But like Damian Pierce. Once he gets going.
Agreed. Needs a crease.
Right there. Once he builds up to it, he gets going, he can boom. Nico, I think, is kind of the same way as well.
Agreed.
Not much, just boom, soon off the snap. Like, they touch it, it's immediate separation and go with them. So, hopefully that is, and I would imagine they see that too, Clint. I would imagine that the Texans and Nick and D'Amico can see that, because they got the damn speed on the other side.
There ain't no doubt. D'Amico's got it.
there is no thought of, like, yeah, they got a bunch of dudes that can go run folks down.
Wow.
That can go and stay with folks on that defense, just kind of lacking there on the other side. All right. This Aaron Rodgers and Steelers thing is still not occurred yet. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, said it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And, like, I find this really intriguing because, like, for real, who has the leverage in this Aaron Rodgers Pittsburgh Steelers thing? Like, which side is the one that's having to do the sale job?
When I came out of the darkness.
Like, is Aaron in there pitching, having to pitch himself more, or the Steelers are the one that, like, they met for 6 hours the other day and they still have not come up with anything? And that, to me, it would appear that one side is having to really push the other one. And I'm just like, who has the leverage in this thing? I'm inclined to think Aaron, because I think Aaron, you could really say, I could look at Aaron and say Aaron could just retire. Like, I don't think he wants to, but I could see Aaron, like, you know what, all right, I just hang it up. But it is, I just wonder who is holding this up. Who is the one that is being wooed more?
Well, you know where if this were any other player, take the name off of it, if this were any other player, the narrative around this whole situation would be totally different. I mean, tore his Achilles 2 years ago, came back, didn't play well, didn't handle some things great, but threw the ball in a way that there's not many are going to consistently throw it down the stretch last season in a dysfunctional organization. Aaron retiring or playing holds all the dice here. I mean, it's Mason Rudolph is the alternative, and they can talk about Mason Rudolph and votes of confidence all they want, but I mean, you're Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, I mean, Fields and Russell Wilson. I mean, we're on a different planet. At least if you're flirting with him now and you're gonna pay Aaron Rodgers, but you think he's on a different, you're not doing it as some kind of experiment. Like, you think he's on a different planet from those other guys and your other options. And so I just, it seems to me like it would be Rodgers without a doubt, and the Steelers.
What that has the leverage?
Oh yeah, like I mean, it was with the Giants. Now that I think the Giants have signed Jameis Winston, I'm assuming they're off the table. But now it could be the retirement thing. I don't think this is a big leverage play for either party. I really don't. I don't think it's as much. It's as trivial as some people make it out to be. Like, oh, they got to figure out if Aaron is a guy that they want and if they like, and are they?
What do you think the holdup is?
I think there's a chance that Aaron's deciding whether he wants to play again or not.
Yeah, you think retirement's on the table for Aaron?
Possibly. Yeah. I do think that there are possibly other teams in play. I don't know who that would be right now, but I do think there are possibly other teams that would be in play. Whether that's like Tennessee
49ers,
or the 49ers. I mean, any of them. There's when you got a chance to, and it's not an ideal situation, but when you got a chance to make a run with a quarterback like that, if you've got the pieces together, like you look at Pittsburgh, like why would you pay DK Metcalf $150 million and then go, I'm going to give you Mason Rudolph? Like it just that doesn't make any sense. Like for them to not go all in and all in right now. For the Pittsburgh Steelers is Aaron Rodgers or nothing else. For them to not go and want to go all in and be like, hell yeah, man, let's make this happen, it would be crazy.
I mean, I guess their only other option is if they make a real run for somebody in the draft.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
to me, that's because the other is the Russell Wilson, the
running back,
whoever else is out there. I can't think of who else is out there is available that would.
Let's ride.
Justin's gone. Jameis is gone now.
Yeah, that's their only other play is we're gonna, I don't know, make a real play for Dart or the kid from Louisville who is starting to climb up boards because they're sitting at 21. That would be the only other play. Yeah, like I said, I'm inclined to think this is more the Steelers waiting on Aaron.
Yeah.
Then Aaron waiting on the Steelers.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cam Hayward, I know there was some audio that went viral with him last week, or maybe it was a week before, I think it was taken a little bit out of context. But there's some audio this week, it may come from the same podcast, but it's starting to surface this week about Cam Hayward talking about, hey, man, there's me and a couple other guys on this team. We ain't got much. We're on borrowed time. We ain't got much time left. Well, I mean, that's even more of a reason to go, yeah, well, let's take a shot with however crazy you think Aaron Rodgers is because he goes away in the darkness. Let's take a shot with his ass because our other options are more than likely not going to get us there.
Yeah. What you got coming up at the 4?
We got a new sponsor for Dirty's Daily, y'all. Got a big shout-out coming next. And the Texans, they signed offensive tackle Trent Brown when I was out. What does that tell us about this team? That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
From George Foreman.
Great tasting, healthier food in minutes.
Daily's Dirty.